Thank you, Brother Clark, and praise the Lord, everybody. I don't like what I'm hearing, what I'm feeling. I'm glad that I know what I'm feeling. We not only shout about what we feel, but we shout about what we know. Praise God. I've enjoyed the messages today. Brother Wilson's message was so tremendous. Brother Buxton's. Yes. And then Brother Young's message last night was just tremendous to me. I approach this subject a little different. And I know I'm going to let out a lot of string and I'll not have time to wind it all in. But if I can give you something to chew on, something to think about. I detect here today that some of you probably haven't been in Pentecost very long. Some of you have been born and raised in it, but some of you are just recently off the streets. And this truth that we're going to expound upon today is one you must be rooted and grounded and established in. Praise God. This is the faith that will overcome this world. Believing that Jesus is the mighty God. Quickly we will read when Jesus came. Matthew chapter 16 verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, he asked these 12 men this point blank question, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Who is Jesus Christ has been the question of centuries, the question of ages. Nicodemus said, "I know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." In essence, who are you? The disciples, when he stood up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and they said, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Who is this? The people said, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his father named Joseph? And his mother Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And his sisters, are they not with us?" In essence, they are saying, "Who is this?" Praise God. In Luke, Jesus returns from the Mount of his temptation and enters into the synagogue of Nazareth where he had been brought up, and stands up and reads himself into his own ministry. The Bible said the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth and said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" When he made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, riding on the little lowly donkey, and little children run along beside the donkey saying, "Hosanna." In the highest to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They opened the windows and threw back the shutters and peeked out the door and said, who is this? Praise God. It's still a question, church, that's not been fully settled in the minds of many. I want to cite you some things. This appeared in a newspaper some years ago by a certain Reverend Muggeridge. Under a theme, Christ is Alive Today, by this certain Reverend Muggeridge. And he said, Jesus Christ is alive today. After 2,000 years, even despite the contemporary Christian church, he remains a living light to the world, said Muggeridge. Although Christ was dead when he was taken down from the cross, he is alive. Now notice, he says, in the sense that we're still talking about him. In the sense that the words he spoke have remained valid truths throughout all these years. Asked who was Jesus Christ, Reverend Muggeridge said, it is of no point. I don't know, and nobody else does. Reverend Muggeridge is only partially right. He's only right when he says he doesn't know. He is dead wrong when he says it is of no point. Jesus said, except ye believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. Oh, I feel something coming on here today. He is dead wrong when he says nobody else does. There are some apostolic Jesus name, one God, tongue talking, owl running, dancing, jumping in the spirit, folks, that knows who he is. Hallelujah. The Mormons say Jesus is a spirit child of God. They don't really know who he is. The Christian scientists and the Unitarians say Jesus Christ is the ideal emanating from the divine mind. The Theosophy says Jesus is a wise teacher, as was Buddha. The Jehovah Witnesses say Jesus is the created archangel Michael. Catholics and Protestants say that he is the second person in the Godhead. The Bible never said Jesus was in the Godhead. The Bible said the Godhead was in Jesus. One of the first laws of teaching is, it's the law of the teacher, and the teacher must know that which he would teach. Believe it or not, young people here today, there are some Trinitarian theologians that have dared to sit down with a pen and paper, or paper and a typewriter, and have dared to share their views of what they have to say about the doctrine of the Trinity. And I really think this morning it's only fair. Didn't get very many amens on that. But I think it's only fair that we need to listen to these men as they expound and endeavor to explain what they say cannot be explained, and as they endeavor to teach what they admit cannot be understood, and that they endeavor to set forth what they admit there is no scriptural foundation for, I think it's only right that we sit still long enough to see if they know where they're coming from or where they're going. If they know what they're saying or whereof they affirm. Praise God. Now these men that I want to cite you to here today are not dumb bunnies. They are men that have doctorates and degrees. They have graduated from seminary. They have done advanced study. They are theologians. They have studied the sciences of God. They are the respected men in their ranks. They're the best they have to put up. They teach in their conferences and their Bible schools and their seminaries. These are lettered men. They, not only that, but they have had access to the best libraries to have done extended study and research, exploring and digging out on the subject of the Trinity. Praise God. Dr. Keith L. Brooks, in his booklet entitled, The Trinity, Must We Believe It? Even his title, he's questioning it. Must we believe it? He gives a questionable title to it because of its lack of scriptural foundation. But he goes on to say that he believes it, and he tries to explain it using such flimsy illustration as the keyboard, and that water, whether in steam or solid or liquid free, but it's just all H2O. Amen. This one here is from Ambassador College. It's wrote by a certain George L. Johnson. It's a Armstrong publication. And he begins, is the Trinity biblical? The belief that God is one substance, yet three persons, is one of the central doctrines of the Christian religion. The concept of the Trinity is believed by most professing Christians, whether Catholic or Protestant. 97% of the American public believe in God, and 83% believe that God is a Trinity. Yet for all this belief in the Trinity, it is a doctrine that's not clearly understood by most Christian laymen. In fact, most have neither the desire nor the incentive to understand what their church teaches. Few laymen are aware of any of the problems which the doctrine of the Trinity they simply take for granted, leaving the mysterious doctrinal aspects to the theologians. And if the layman were to investigate further, he would be confronted with discouraging statements similar to this: the mind of man cannot fully understand the mystery of the Trinity. He who would try to understand the mystery would lose his mind, but he who would deny the Trinity would lose his soul. You'll go to crazy if you do. You'll go to hell if you don't.
I feel plumb preachified up here today.
If you were to confine yourselves to reading the articles of the Trinity in popular religious literature for laymen, you would conclude that the Trinity is everywhere and clearly taught in the Bible. However, if you were to begin to read the more technical Bible encyclopedias, dictionaries, and books on the subject, you would come to an entirely different conclusion. And the more you studied, the more you would find that the Trinity is built on a very shaky foundation indeed. Both Catholic and Protestant theologians quote Theophilus of Antioch, 180 A.D. The doctrine of the Trinity postdates the Bible by nearly 200 years. That means there was not one apostle that preached it. There was not one New Testament writer that taught it. There was not one Old Testament preacher of it. Hallelujah! Let me tell you, Pentecostal conquerors, they don't know what they're talking about. The Word of God said, prove all things. The Word of God said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God told John on the Isle of Patmos, what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. Hear me today, church, it has to be written. If you can show me where Holy Trinity is written. For God said He was the Holy Three or the Triune Godhead, but it ain't there. God said He was one and not three. Let's listen. This is God the Father, the teacher's manual from the Assemblies of God, Springfield, Missouri, on the Triune God, page 46, paragraph 5. It said that these three persons are equal. They share one common name. No one is God by himself. But God, He said, I am God and there is none else. Listen to this one. The doctrine of the Trinity cannot be totally understood even by redeemed reason. We must let God be God. Though the doctrine of the Trinity is superior to reason and cannot be fathomed by the human intellect, it is not contrary to reason. It does not violate what can legitimately be imagined by the mind. What they want to say is, it's above reason. They don't want to say it doesn't make sense. I feel a mighty charge of the Holy Ghost up here today. Listen to this one. I'm telling you today, they're extremely limited on what they can say when they set it down to try to explain and advocate. They're limited. Like many biblical teachings, the full truth of the doctrine of the Trinity is not stated in the Old Testament. The Assemblies of God are admitting it's not taught in the Old Testament. In general, the Old Testament presents preparation for redemption, while the New Testament provides manifestation of the redemption God planned. Now listen to this, and this is a Lulu. The Old Testament contains, so the Assembly of God said, undeveloped hints. Undeveloped hints. God wasn't hinting to anybody when He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord." God for truth. I got to hurry, so listen to this one. This is Brumbeck's answer, a Trinitarian answer to oneness, trying to tear this down. Brumbeck was the darling of the Assemblies of God for years, and I understand finally actually lost out. Listen to what Reverend Brumbeck says. Like many other biblical doctrines, the Trinity does not appear in the Bible in systematic form. Reverend Brumbeck is saying it's really not explicitly taught in the Bible. Here comes the Lulu. Reverend Brumbeck says it must be admitted that the doctrine of the Trinity was developed during the centuries of the Romanist era. He's admitting that it postdates the Bible some 200 years. It come along with Mariolatry, the worship of Mary, with infant sprinkling and bringing images and idols into the church. Rome got it from Pergamos. Pergamos got it from Babylon. Babylon got it from Nimrod. And Nimrod got it from the devil. Whoa, hallelujah! I got a couple of more Lulus. I want you to hear this one. It's from Dr. Lewis T. Talbot's book, God's Plan of the Ages. Dr. Talbot was once the president of BIOLA, the Bible Institute of Los Angeles. Under the heading of the Eternal Triune God, verse 10, page 10, Listen to Dr. Talbot, this great learned scholar, this theologian. This doctrine is not contrary to reason. He doesn't want to say it doesn't make sense. He says it's above reason. One day we shall understand. He's admitting we can't understand it now. The great doctrine of the Godhead is we cannot now understand it, possessed as we are with these finite minds. One day we shall understand how God can be three persons, yet one God. Now I want you to notice what this scholar and this theologian predicates his teaching upon and dared to print it. I wonder, Brother Nelson, see if I'm reading this right. Some years ago, a weak-minded, a mentally retarded boy who was never known to utter a rational sentence, while on his deathbed, looked up and spoke these amazing words, I see, what do I see? Three and one in three. And the one in the middle, he died for me. And he says, this is all we can say. That's not all we can say. I want to give you a few quotations from Dr. J. Vernon McGee's book on how God exists in three persons. When he advertised that booklet and I heard about it, I quickly got an order in the mail. Anybody that could explain how God exists in three persons, I wanted to hear him out. Some of you have heard his Through the Bible Safari. I think just about every day of the week he's on hundreds of radio stations. He's a doctor, theology, conference speaker, writer, teacher. And he begins his essay by admitting when he had graduated from the seminary some 25 years before that he knew the answers. But confesses after a diligent study of 25 years to his appalling ignorance, especially in the subject he's about to teach upon, that of the Trinity. What he is admitting, he knows less about it 25 years later than he did when he graduated out of seminary. In his first paragraph, he confesses to his appalling ignorance. He calls it an enigmatic mystery, an inscrutable riddle, impossible to understand and impossible to explain. He ought to shut up right then. Dr. McGee said that he is doubtful if the doctrine of the Trinity could ever be explained. Dr. McGee says that the question must be answered, can the doctrine of the Trinity be explained or understood? If the answer has to be a yes or no, it has to be an emphatic no. Dr. McGee tells us that the wisdom of the scientists would never be able to explain the Trinity to us. Dr. McGee says in his book, it would be a trivial thing to landing a man on the moon to understanding the mystery of the Trinity. And then he quoted that one that we cited a while ago, that old adage, that he that would dare to understand the Trinity would lose his mind, and he that would deny it would lose his soul, and that's the dilemma we're in. Hallelujah! But oh, aren't you glad for the truth? There is one Lord. There
is one baptism. There is one God who is Father of all and above all and through you all.
I'm going to hurry. Oh, I'm done overtime, but I'm going to hurry. I want you to know, young people, that Jesus Christ identified the true church. I want you to get that down in your craw, that Jesus Christ identified the true church. You don't have to walk around in a fog or a mist, knowing whether you've come to the right one or not. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 1, when John sees him standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks, and he hears the voice, and he turns to see the voice that spake with him, and saw him standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks, he said that I am the first, and I am the last. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end, which is, and which was, and which is to come, of the Almighty. Oh, hallelujah. Give me your attention. I gotta hurry. Every other movement says Jesus is the one in the middle. Every other movement says he's the second one. But the true church says he's the first and he's the last. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. One more. One more. Hallelujah. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Wait a minute. Those Trinitarian theologians will tell you that's like you and your wife. I want to tell you it ain't that way. And I want to tell you why it ain't that way. Somebody comes to my door and knocks on the door. And Sister Muncie goes to the door. She can't say, when you seen me, you seen Brother Muncie. But because he's God manifest in the flesh, a God personified, God and man. He can say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank God for truth today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated if you can today. Thank God for truth. Hallelujah. And the greatest thing I can think of this great truth that God